He wants to fill you with His Holy Spirit. And you say to God, God, can you give me the gift of the Holy Spirit? So, if you are a soul searching for the Holy Spirit, and you say, can I have the Holy Spirit? God says, here it is. Now, can He now ask me, can you give me the Holy Spirit? Why? Yeah, okay. He's holding something in His hand, right? So that's a physical illustration, right? So Him holding a pen now in this illustration would be that He has the Holy Spirit. So how many times, and if He carries that with Him, always, He don't ever have to ask for it again. Right? And since the Holy Spirit is not a pen that can easily fall out of His pocket, right? It's a fusion. I was going to do that. The interpreter did it first. And when you infuse something, right? And if God infuses something, He cannot lie. He cannot take it back. Some people think they can lose the Holy Spirit. And they question whether they have it or not. If God gave it to you, and you said, thank you for the Holy Spirit, then you have it. Yeah, but I didn't feel anything. We heard about that. That was day one of his sermon. He said, emotions are good. But God is not in emotions. God is not in sensations. If I had a sensational experience of my infilling with the Holy Spirit, I can be very convincing in testifying to people about how to receive the Holy Spirit, right? Now in certain Pentecostal churches, they're waiting after they prayed for you.
That's right.
Nothing is coming out of his mouth yet. Oh, no tongues. Oh, he's not filled with the Holy Spirit. But if we just babble something? Oh, yeah, he's got it. Are they God? Only God knows. It's His Spirit. He's the giver. He's the one that can give it. And if He gives it, no one can take it away. No one can take it away. Brother Piri, Brother Verimu, they cannot take away the Holy Spirit from you. If you come and consult with them, you see, I've done this, I've done that, and done this, and done that. After I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, then you don't have it. Sorry. It's a lie. They don't have that authority. They can only consult you. They can lead you to the scriptures. They can pray with you. And they can, through prayer, bring you back to that point where you walked off stray and then you realize, oh, it was there all along. But I have lived too much on I can do whatever I want. But I've also allowed myself to become under power of whatever I yielded myself to. Am I speaking the truth? You discern with your heart. And also search your heart. Lord, am I filled with your Holy Spirit? Now, if you have had that experience before, and you're not sure, then you can say, Lord, can you give me the assurance that I have the Holy Spirit? He could do that too. And it's wonderful when the Lord moves in our midst, isn't it? I love it when the Lord moves in our midst. I love it when He moves the congregation to praise and to worship and to dance and to whatever the Spirit of the Lord leads you to do. You are at liberty. You don't have to go anywhere else. And I praise the Lord that I'm now in a church where I'm at liberty to speak on whatever the Lord laid on my heart.
Amen.
There was no instructions from your pastor. Ariel, I want you to circle around this area here now. He trusts the Lord. You have a pastor that trusts the Lord. And the Lord is pricking on some hearts tonight. There's people here tonight, young and old, male and female, that are searching for something from the Lord. That are hungry and thirsty. And if you have the Holy Spirit, God bless you. Teach others how easy it is to receive it. Because the full gospel is Acts 2:38. And I remember also in my youth, because the gifts of the Spirit has always been used in our church for as long as I can remember. I also used to laugh at speaking in tongues when I was a child. Well, now they're talking funny again. And they're crying. And like kids do, right? We don't understand what's going on when we're children. But still, I could sense there's a sincerity here. I understood it's not something they're making up. They're not acting on themselves. So I remember that, Lord, I want the gift of tongues. Can you give me the gift of tongues? Now, the First Corinthians, when Paul writes to the Corinthian church, he says, yearn for the gifts. Yearn for speaking in tongues. And yearn for the best of the gifts, which is to prophesy. Because that gives an understanding to the body of Christ. Tongues will not give your brother anything unless it is interpreted. For someone praying in tongues, it's a good experience. Because you're under the Spirit of the Lord and you run out of words to pray. And you can just pray on in tongues. Paul did that all the time. Paul said, I speak more in tongues than all of you. And there was something, it was not a sermon that evening preached about the gifts. My heart was just compelled. Something was, and I know now it wasn't just from my head knowledge. But I was desiring the gift of tongues. I said, Lord, after the preaching, I'm going to go up for prayer, and you're going to give him the gift of tongues. And it was not my demand. I just knew, if I go to be prayed for now, I'm going to receive it. So I went, and there was a long prayer line. So I was a little bit in back. And as I heard, you know, different ones being prayed for, all of a sudden I heard my brother-in-law, his name is Thomas. All of a sudden I heard his voice raise up high in a new language, in tongues. And before I could think a thought, another brother in the church, one of my best friends in the church growing up, right after him, spoke in tongues. And I got, but Lord, you know, I was in line for this, you know. And I was about to say, but Lord, I was, and blah, blah, at the same time, you know how you can think a million thoughts in a second, right? So many thoughts in that 1 second in my mind. Well, him, and I was supposed to, and before I was even able to think the next thought, I was joining them. And the Lord was just showering the church with its anointing. And it is all to the glory of God. And my life will be could have been perfect without that experience. It's not something that, you know, makes it or breaks it for me, if you know what I mean by that statement. But God was just showering me. He says, this is also a gift. And the gifts of the Spirit is potentially in each and every one of you. All 9 gifts of the Spirit are potentially in each and every child of God. But it takes God to quicken them. Not a sermon like tonight. It's not going to quicken it. It sure will bring your attention towards it. Of course, I understand that. But God rules. God knows whatever gift can benefit not yourself, but your brother and your sister. It's called a gift. It's not called a possession, a treasure. Oh, mine. Now people can know how holy I am. It's worthless. And we know there's a lot of abuse of the gifts. And that makes a lot of churches want to limit the gifts. Right? But just let God have control. Now, as I was telling you, in all the churches we visited there in that summer in 94, there's one special image that I can never remove from my vision or heart. Because I was sitting in the front row. And this was in the late Pastor Raymond Jackson's church. It was so packed that some had to sit in the back room behind the pulpits, and some had to sit in the fellowship hall because the church couldn't fit any more people. But when that message was preached, and the one who was leading the service was telling the people how simple this was. And he said, if this touched you tonight, and you feel you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, come up for prayer. And within just a few minutes, there were so many people that rushed to the front. And people came in from the back door. people came in from the fellowship hall, from the side doors and the main entrance. And they just streamed, flocked to the front. And I can't possibly think they were able to pray for all of them. I don't know. And the Lord just filled the room with His presence. And people gave testimonies after. I remember a father of one of my friends in the church. He raised his child there. He wasn't sure he had the Holy Spirit. He wasn't sure that he had the Holy Spirit.
That's the child.
No, the father.
Oh,
the father had been in church for many, many years. And raised his children there. He said, I need this. He wasn't ashamed at all to stand in front of the people as one that was not filled with the Holy Spirit. I need it. I need it to get to heaven. and he wanted to be rebaptized because of he was so convicted. And that can only be the work of the Lord. That's not the work of man. And the Lord is in full control. Amen. And if the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight, and you're not sure that you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you can be sure tonight. And don't wait till tomorrow. Don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. Because it also means God is calling you. And tomorrow also could be a good day. Right? But if God is calling you today, and we know what happened in the house of Cornelius, they were not baptized. But Peter, he preached with such zeal in his heart.
Petru analalikira na
the people were already on their toes. We can't wait till this Apostle Peter gets here. He was one of the disciples that walked with Jesus. And now he's coming. And the Lord had done something supernatural beforehand. Angels had visited the house of Cornelius and said, you're going to call on this man. And he's going to come and he's going to present the gospel to you. And God worked on Peter as well with the dream. It's a perfect match, you could say. And when God showed Peter, they were already on their way. So when that is the story beforehand, right? The expectation of the people is so high. They couldn't wait till the end of the sermon. They couldn't wait till they were baptized. God opened up an understanding. And it says, and the Holy Spirit fell upon them. So how then could I deny them the water? Right? They were Gentiles. He wasn't even supposed to be there. But he was supposed to be there. This was step two of go ye out into all the world. Right? Not just in Jerusalem. Also to the Gentiles. So, with that, I will close. And may God bless you. And may God have His way.
Amen. Amen.
As Brother Ariel was winding up, I was reminded of what the late Brother John Mark had shared the last time he came. How many have heard about Brother John Mark Lauzi? Wonderful servant of God. The last time we had invited him, he shared an experience he had, you know, before starting his trip. Now, one thing about Brother John Mark, God gave him such a unique experience. You know, those who heard his testimony, he talked about how he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit through a supernatural visitation. You know, he had that experience of... At one time, he was in an experience where he saw an angel coming and poured oil on him. Then I think on a certain day, he went out taking care of the cattle. Then he started singing the song, "There's Power in the Blood of Jesus." And then... in his testimony, he saw, you know, fire coming on him. You don't have to have a dramatic experience like that. But the time he had visited Zambia, he emphasized a lot on the importance of having the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, over the years, the message has emphasized a lot on doctrine and not having an experience. So, we've managed to produce a lot of message theologians. But having a bunch of people who have little or no personal experience with the Lord. Now, this is what Brother John Mark said. Before he started his trip, he says he had a dream. He said he saw a lot of people, actually they were ministers, he says they were naked. So he was shocked. He says, "What is this, Lord?" He says, "They were all naked." That's terrible, right? And the Lord told him, they lack the Holy Spirit. So we are clothed when we have the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, you know what hinders us as believers? Is a kind of a thought where you feel you are experienced. Because I'm a believer. I read spoken word books. Religiousness is very subtle. It can give us false confidence.
That's right.
Brother Chilufya, are you ready to just share your testimony of what happened in Chatama? You know, before we went for the crusade in Chatama, I told my brothers and sisters, as we are planning for this mission, don't go in a crusade like you are up there and you've gone to help people down there. As long as it is a place where we have gathered to meet God, stand there also as a soul in need. Don't be there like you're just ushering another person.
Amen.
So I told them, we are going for a crusade. But when preaching starts, when we are worshiping, be there to say, Lord, I'm also here for your touch. And there were so many testimonies there. We had people who came from the world, didn't have a religious background, but someone was explaining what they were feeling as they were waiting in the prayer line. This is a man who was smoking. He was deep in the world. He started explaining the kind of a feeling he started experiencing. He didn't say it was the Holy Spirit, but he says, I had such a strong urge, I just wanted to go in the water. And then he says, I started feeling breathless. I didn't know what was going on. But the moment he came out of the water, he had such joy. I think most of you have seen him when you know, when you give him a work to usher, you see a happy, joyful soul. That makes me believe Jesus is still touching lives. But Brother John's testimony,
he
says, I had been in the message for so many years, but every time I had a dream. Brother Chilufya, come and speak. Why should I speak on your behalf? I feel this will help us.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. This brother, he once used to be just a face in the congregation.
Yes, sir.
Ikasira service disappears.
After service,
he would
sneak out and disappear. As long as he has registered his face on Sunday.
Just an obscure face, you know. But after the Chatama experience, I think all the brethren here in this assembly, you can say, it's been an amazing thing, right? Brother, your testimony may help someone. He's always scared to stand in front of people.
I greet you all in Jesus' name.
Amen. After Chatama, there's been such a hunger in the brother. For the first time, every time he hears we're on mission, he says, I want to be part of it. That's not the brother John I used to know. Brother John, when they were just not to finge na mo maningi manengi, but wafuna wazipeza kutabat walimu mnamba, but not him wafake kusogoro sogoro. No, no, no.
He is a guy who never stepped so much into it, he just wanted to touch it a bit and then he goes.
But every now and then,
he
out of whatever little work he does, he wants to send something as part of mission. If he hears, oh, there's a trip to Chatama, there's a trip, he says, please, don't forget me. It's what we said yesterday. The kind of a spirit which is in you easily shows by things you crave for, things you are hungry for. You'll be able to tell I'm a new creation by the kind of appetites. Right? But you know the beautiful, most beautiful thing out of all this? There's that woman who was moving through a crowd wanting to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. Imagine if Jesus was in our time and is in the Middle East there. If he is in the Middle East, in Israel, and you were that woman with an issue of blood, you don't have to just trouble yourself through that crowd in Israel, but you have to start thinking about an air ticket.
for you to have an opportunity to touch the hem of his garment. Remember those men who have to cut a roof and bring down the patient because the crowd was so tight and big. Lowered him to at the feet of Jesus. But there's good news, brothers and sisters. There's still room at the feet of the Lord. And you don't have to get on a plane. You don't have to go to Nigeria. You know, some people watch certain dramatic things on what is happening in Nigeria, and they desire to go there. To go to TB Joshua, you know. But hear me, saints. There is something real right here. If you have faith, you can reach out to God. He's a breath away from you. How much faith? Is it a kind of faith you need to go in 3 days fasting? Do you need to go in 3 days fasting? Or is it 7 days? If we had a scale to measure the faith you need. Because sometimes we have imaginations. So, how much faith do I need? Maybe let me go in fasting. Brother John Mark again gave us a very nice testimony. I think there were two brothers. They heard about Brother John Mark in Uganda. So they started looking for him. Now those who remember the sermon he preached to us, he says, if you come to Karamoja and you are looking for John Mark, you are in big trouble. You need to be ready to walk. You need to have strong legs because I walk a lot. So he says, these brothers, when they came, they were told, oh, John Mark was here, but he has left.
Oh, John Mark and Anifano were Peter.
So they also followed to where they were told. When they arrived there, they told them, oh, he was just here, but he left. He went to another village. You know what those two brothers said? They said, which room was he keeping up in here? Just take us there. Because we can't manage to keep walking these long distances. So they went in the room where John Mark was. Closed themselves up. And they said, Lord, fill us with the Holy Spirit. And that's how the power of God visited them. Without meeting Brother John Mark. What does that tell us? He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Administration of the word. If you are a young man, you are still living in sin, having dirty habits, which you are even ashamed to speak out, but you know what you do. That dirty habit won't go away by trying to copy another good brother to say, no, now I'll be serious. I'll carry my Bible with me.
bedroom. I'll keep reading them through. Ask the Jews. They tried to do that thousands of years. They always broke those laws. But here is a prophecy in Jeremiah 31. A day is coming. I'll make a new covenant. Not according to that which I did when I brought them out of Egypt. I'll write my law in their inward parts. And Ezekiel says, I'll put my spirit within them. And that spirit will cause them to walk in the commandments of the Lord. If you see a fast moving vehicle, and oh, you desire it, I wish my vehicle could run fast like that. And then you go to your old Corolla. Say, oh, wait a minute. What color did that fast moving vehicle? It was a white car.
Yes, white.
Then you go buy white paint. You paint your old Corolla. Believe me, you take it on the road, it will still be. You have to take people to push it. It won't have speed. Why didn't you come to church pushing you? For the first 2 weeks, you seem to have caught the fire. Because someone emphasized. Later on, you slumber back to your old habits. Here is a solution. You need to put a new engine in that Corolla. And it will take off with the right speed. The word has been spoken. What will do it? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an emotion. But in case you have an emotion, that's a bonus. But it's everything we need. When Brother John Mark had that dream of naked people, you need to ask yourself, am I naked? It's a question which requires an honest answer. Because your salvation depends on it. When Jesus walks in here, he doesn't see a crowd. He doesn't see how we've dressed up. Neckties, looking good. He sees you as an individual. He doesn't see that outfit. He sees you, what you are inside. The worst thing we can do is to stand in the presence of God and to pretend. A broken and a contrite heart, God does not despise. The question is, do you really see a need? I've always told my two boys, when you're in a problem, the bigger problem than that problem is not knowing that you have a problem. That's Laodicea. Blind, poor, rich, but doesn't even know it. Shall we stand? Let us always remember, the rapture will not be a theological event. The rapture will be a love attraction between Jesus and his bride. A person who has become so homesick until sin is an ugly stench and desires, one day I want to be in the presence of my Lord. The word has gone forth and the Lord is calling out. I won't call for an altar call. But right where you are. When Peter was preaching in the home of Cornelius, he had no time to call an altar call. As he was speaking, then the Holy Spirit came on those who heard the word. But you need to see that you have a need. The Lord is calling out this evening. Softly and tenderly. Softly and tenderly, Jesus.
And believe it as I pray. If your request is sickness, believe it. As we pray right now, uniting our hearts together. This moment in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your healing. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you, Lord, for your praises. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful grace. Thank you, Lord, for your visitation. And we reach out, Lord, touching you, not by our righteousness, but through the righteousness of Christ. If you still want to be prayed for, remain here, you can come forward. But we rejoice in the name of Jesus. Because he is here to heal us, to fill you with the Holy Spirit, to deliver you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You don't have to walk outside when we are walking outside. If you still feel the need to be prayed for, or you still feel the need to go on in prayer, go ahead, pray.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So as we walk outside, we walk prayerfully.
Amen.
Because others are still under the hand of God.
Amen.
And you want to hang around and seek the Lord. Go on, pray. As we continue singing. My God to thee. As they continue singing, we walk out. Praise the Lord. I'll request an usher to have an offering back at the end there. We shall pray for the offering. Heavenly Father, may you bless every offering. And bless every hand, Lord. In Jesus' name. Don't walk out chatting. Walk out prayerfully. Walk out having that warmth from your heart. As they continue singing to us, nearer, my God, to
the Lord.
If you still need to be prayed for, men of God are still here.